You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Most people think estate planning is about death. But the truth is, it's actually about life. The lives you love, the legacy you leave, and the chaos you avoid for the people you care about most. Today we are diving headfirst into a topic that most people avoid, but that none of us can afford to ignore. Because whether you have a sprawling estate or a small apartment, whether you're leaving behind millions or memories, if you don't make decisions today, the system will make them for you tomorrow. And trust me, the system doesn't love your family the way you do. Joining us tonight is someone who knows exactly how to navigate these sensitive, vital conversations. Advocate Malebogo Mashishi, a brilliant legal mind who's here to demystify wills, trusts, power of attorney, and why estate planning is for everyone, not just the wealthy few. So buckle up, because by the end of today's conversation, you won't just be thinking about estate planning, you will be doing it. Advocate, my advocate, good evening.
Good evening, Bumi.
How are
you? Thank you so much for such a beautiful intro. I'm well, thanks, and how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Are you ready to talk to us about things that people would rather ignore and run away from?
Are we ever ready, though?
Oh, that is the question.
We'll see.
All right, let's be real. Most people don't even want to think about estate planning, right? Why do you think there's so much fear and avoidance around it?
That's due to a number of reasons. Just to mention a few.
Yeah.
One, people generally don't like talking about death.
This is true.
You beautifully captured it in your introduction. Mm. So it's even worse when now we want to question people to plan for their death.
Mm.
It's as if you're saying, oh, I'm planning to die.
Yeah.
Right? That's one. Two, it's the lack of knowledge, and people generally don't like the admin also of getting a will done.
Mm.
And I know for a lot of adventurers, I need to tread softly on this one.
Yeah.
But because we are pursuing the kingdom, mm, and we are not of this world, people tend to then think that planning for things like your funeral or what's going to happen afterwards, it's not important.
Mm.
So they just leave it to the family to decide what they'd like to see happen when they've now passed on.
Jeez,
so
man.
It's just a number of reasons, but those are the ones that I can think of from the top of my head.
Yeah. And the sad thing is the family ends up not even having the power to decide, right? Because
absolutely,
100% systems come into place. But at the end of the day, you're just like, you're waiting for the kingdom, but you're waiting for the kingdom in pain because you didn't prepare. But before we get into the details, what's one thing you wish every person understood about estate planning before it's too late?
Oh, there's quite a lot.
Okay.
One, there's nothing to be fearful about.
Okay.
Because a lot of people tend to be fearful about the process itself.
Mm.
Do not avoid it. It needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right? When somebody is born, ultimately they're going to die at some point.
No, don't say that.
Unfortunately, that's the reality.
Yes.
So it's also not for a particular race,
mm,
or a certain group of people in society.
Mm.
It's very important and it needs to be done because it gives you the control that you essentially need in order to administer your
estate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this is the best point for you to walk us through it, right? What actually happens if someone passes away without a will or an estate plan in place?
In simple terms, when you die without a will, you are planning to fail.
Yeah. And so you're not failing yourself because you're gone. You're failing your people.
All the people that you would have left behind, yeah, unfortunately, You don't then get to decide what must happen because you failed to plan for that particular incident or instance, rather. So when you die without a will, you're going to be classified as somebody who's died interstate. So it means you died without a will. Therefore, the law or the rules of interstate succession will be applicable in that regard. What we will then have, if you die today and you do not have a will, we're going to look at one, your spouse. If you do not have one, we move to the children. If you do not have any, we move to your siblings. If you still do not have siblings or do not have siblings, then we move to your children's siblings. Would be your nieces and your nephews and then the grandparents. So we have all these categories. You don't just pick up and choose, I'm going to give these to my siblings. There are certain steps and rules that we need to exercise in that regard. And say, for argument's sake, you do not meet all these requirements in that you do not tick all these boxes for all the categories mentioned. Then your estate will be given to the state. And then the state will be the guardian of your estate, will get to decide what happens to it until, obviously, the person of interest who approaches them. So if you do not have a will, the likelihood of your money ending up to the state are quite high if you do not have all these family members. And it's not like we're just going to give them the money or your assets. Just like that. There's also another process that we need to follow. So dying without a will, it's a lot. It's taxing. And these are some of the things that can be avoided if we plan ahead.
You know, it was, when was the year? 2022, perhaps. I think, I'm trying to think of how long I've had my house. There was a house that was starting to get built next to mine, and then it wasn't built anymore. And then a board went up that says, this is a deceased estate. That board has been there for the past 3 years now. It's going on 3 years. And the board is there. And we're always wondering, whatever happened to this estate? Does it really take that long to wind up an estate, even when a will is in place?
It does. So generally in South Africa, dealing with an estate, even when it's simple, and if it's more complicated and has a lot of money, obviously it's going to be longer.
We're losing you, Malebogo. Can you move to a more, a place with better stability network-wise? We're losing you here and there.
Apologies, am I clear now?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Sorry about that. As I was saying, generally in South Africa, it takes the minimum of a year to administer the estate. So the more complicated it gets, the longer it will take because there are different states that we need to go through before we can finalize
it. It's not getting better. And this is such vital, valuable information. I don't want my people to miss it. So can we
let me try to move?
No mung ama pegwe fridge.
Apologies. I think it should be better now.
Yeah.
Yes. So generally it takes a minimum of a year and depends on how complex the situation is, can take even longer.
Sure.
Yeah.
And where a will is concerned, because I think the last time I actually even thought about it or did it was when COVID was rife, when people didn't know if they'll make it tomorrow. So is it a case of one and done, or is it something that needs to get checked on every now and again? Is it some, what is the process really? Somebody calls you and says, hey, I'm from Capital, what? Let's set up a will. What is the next thing that follows? What is required of me post the point of threshing out the details with that person?
Okay, so because generally a will is to carry out your final wish, and we assume that your wishes may change from time to time.
Yeah.
So you are allowed and eligible to change it as often as you may like.
We're losing you again.
Hello?
We're losing you again. It comes in and goes out. Like somebody who knows the information will feel like they haven't missed anything, but somebody who doesn't will feel like, oh no, that detail, that detail.
My network is stable here.
Are you wearing headsets perhaps, or AirPods, or anything like that? Jeez. Okay. So you were saying that you can set it, and the assumption is that your desires or your wishes change ever so often, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you get it to meet your needs at that particular
time. Mm-hmm.
So whenever you enter into a will or you get a will drawn up to you, you can always change
it.
Say you have a will now and you are not married or don't have any children.
Mm.
Should that change at any point, then you can still approach whomever is responsible for drawing up your lawyer to draw a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that once you draw up a will today, you get to keep it for life. I mean, if that's what you want, that's great. But if you want to change it at some point, you can still do that.
Yeah. And the document alone, is it enough or does it need an executioner? How does it go?
For purposes of security.
Yeah.
The document is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this a lot of times, especially in Black communities. You telling people of your wishes or your desires is not enough. You having a will is still also not enough. You'd need somebody who will safeguard it.
Yeah.
That's why we always encourage people to go to credible people, a lawyer or somebody who practices from a financial institution like a bank.
Yeah.
Such that drawn up your own will, then they get to keep it safe for you until obviously you pass on, and then your family will have access to it.
Yeah, and since this is a service that's offered by a professional, I'm assuming there are fees every month?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to bring it to the listeners that I know that the question is that wills are expensive and lawyers are generally.
You might need to go back to where you were initially, because now every second word is being cut off.
My apologies. But as I was saying, I know that the general assumption is that wills and lawyers are generally expensive.
Mm.
But the reason why I'd rather go to a credible person is to ensure that whomever draws up your will know what they're doing.
Mm.
All right. In as much as it can be expensive, depending on what you classify as being expensive, right?
Mm.
But you pay these fees because, yes, people are also carrying out their service, but they also make sure that whatever will they get drawn up is legitimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, every time somebody has died, Malebogo, it doesn't matter what race or what tribe. We recently saw it with, I think, a lady who was part of some housewives reality show. Families get torn apart. Assets get lost. There is strife. So much happens. Why is this the case? Why does it happen so often, even in seemingly simple estates?
We all love money. Whether we like it. I think that's the most simple and big.
Yes.
And people are inherently not satisfied. So a lot of with families, they always find ways to try to get the money or the us for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why I would get a lot of these horror stories.
Yeah.
And it happened quite a lot. A lot of them don't even make it to the media, but these are the harsh realities of a lot of people. There's also a lot of corruption and fraud when it comes to wills and just estate planning in general. And there's also various traditions and cultures. There are people who believe that there's only like people in the family who are eligible to claim to get something from their estate.
Mm.
So there's a lot that when it comes to estate planning and people claiming in general.
Yeah, and you're right about the misinformation, because you'll find families who say, yeah, this car will go to Mamukholo, this taxi will, and you're just like, oh, hold on, there are processes, there are systems, relax. But because people don't know, they have this sense of entitlement, and this was my son, this was my, and it just gets very, very messy. And in that case, let's say that rivalry is happening, right, in the family. Can somebody, let's say a wife who's now being sidelined by a late husband's family, can they walk up to the law or to a lawyer and say, yo, this is what is happening, I don't know if this guy has a will. I don't know any of those things. But can they receive help in that situation?
Yes, definitely. So the quickest way to go about it, obviously it's litigation, and litigation is quite expensive and not everybody has the resources.
Mm.
But the most easiest way to deal with these situations is simply approach the court. You can launch an urgent application wherein you put to the court what the issues are.
Yeah.
And the court will give you a court order or an order in that regard.
Mm.
And then you'll get to move forward. Other people, they also choose not approach the court as a family. Although there are some where it does work out, but in most cases it doesn't. And people will unfortunately have to approach the court because whatever the court decides on, they are binding.
Yeah. So there is help. There is a way out.
There
You're
is
not
help.
Stuck
there
in
is.
That in that strife. Okay, got you. Malboha, I'm going to ask you for the last time, Jem, if you can just try and find a angel opposition. I'd absolutely appreciate it. We can hear you, but literally every second word is cut out. And I don't know what the issue could be.
You know, I've moved. I've also changed.
Now it's perfect. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there, please.
Okay.
Please.
Thank you so much.
Now, a lot of people still think estate planning is for the ultra wealthy. Can you break down why the average person absolutely needs a plan too?
You need a plan to safeguard your and to protect the state. It doesn't matter any what you have, but we work so hard for our and it will be nice and wise for you to at least have a plan
in
place when you are now, so that we know what should happen to your assets. So it's not just for the wealthy. Even the average person, when you have debts and it's written in your will or your plan, people that you're in debt to know exactly to get the money of having children and her family. So there's a lot that it will get you for people, and it's not limited to people who have resources or who are wealthy.
Yeah. And just for the purposes of those who don't really know, what is the difference between an estate plan and just a life policy? Because it sounds to me like it covers those things, right? That, okay, in the event that you die, we will pay all your debts and then the rest goes to this beneficiary and that. So what is the difference? Or is a life policy a part of your estate plan?
It is a part of your estate plan. So what people know, with estate planning,
yeah,
there are a lot of things underneath the PIM or the bracket estate planning. You would have your life, you'll have your trust, you'll have your will, which essentially tells us what you want to see happen in your estate. In the event you are perhaps sick, you are dead, or you are without any, all these things then are just together and classified as estate planning. But they each serve a specific one you use when you're still alive, other you use when you are now gone.
So in simple terms, an estate plan is what happens to what belongs to you after you can no longer use it because you're gone.
Even when you're still alive.
Okay.
Yes, because remember we also have to past and your will, and then we also have solid spots that you also just made.
Yeah, we'll get to all of those nitty-gritties towards the end. But I'm wondering, what are some common misconceptions you come across that prevent people from actually getting started with an estate plan?
We've already on quite already one, those are expected. Two, lawyers are also expected.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's open to debate. Wills are for people who are wealthy or who are rich. People with children or people who are married. There's just a lot of misconceptions brother,
yeah.
which then prevents people from getting girls grown up. But all of these are not true, because the reality is, if you do not have a will, you are going to put yourself in an unnecessary situation which could have been avoided had you taken.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cut the line for a bit and hope that when I do call you back, it's more stable, because I'm really struggling to hear you. So I don't know if it's you or me, but I'm going to cut the call so that we can start again. And hopefully this time it will be slightly better. Are you down for that?
Not a problem.
Fantastic.
So apologies.
Not a problem.
Once again.
Let's give it a try. I'm really sorry about that, my people. I really just want us to get all the information that Malibogo has to share, because it's so important, right? It's things we don't necessarily talk about at the water cooler or a society. So I really want us to get all the information that we can, because now we're going to break it down. What is inside an estate plan, what the differences are, and how you can get started today. So hopefully the line is better so that you can hear every single word that Malibogo has to share with us. Are we good? Let's give it another try.
Hello, Mpumi.
Yes, I think it could be better now. Just say something nice to me for like 1 minute, 30 seconds, so that I can hear that your line is stable.
Okay, I think it's much better now.
Yes.
Is it better?
It's perfect, but I said say something nice about me. Hey!
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it. This is not about me. Okay, so you did mention this earlier, but because of the line, we didn't quite get it right. So when we say an estate plan, what exactly does that include? What are the essential pieces every person should have within their plan?
Okay, so all plans are different. Mm. Because the idea or the intention here is to tailor it according to your needs. Mm-hmm. But these are the key things that you should have in your estate plan or estate planning. Mm-hmm. You should be able to list your assets, mm-hmm. your liabilities, mm-hmm. the beneficiaries or dependents.
Yep.
If you have children, then you can also list your guardian.
Yeah.
But it's also important that whomever you're choosing to appoint as your guardian for your children, you also notify them so that they don't feel like they're being ambushed.
Yeah.
Then you'll also list your policies. And if you have debts, you also list them as well.
Got
so
it.
That if there's debt that needs to be paid, we can attend to that before we administer the rest of your estate, because the debtors needs to be paid first.
Mm-hmm. That makes absolute sense. I get it. Can you help us understand now the role of a will? What does that cover and what doesn't it cover?
So a will, in simple terms, we've already established that it's a legal document that tells everyone, including your heir, your beneficiaries and heir, how would like your assets to be distributed after you're gone.
Yeah.
So it essentially covers everything. I think it's safer we leave it at that, because like I said, wills are generally different.
Yeah.
So others may cover certain things while others do not cover. So it depends on what the person who draws up the will decides to include in theirs. But you should have all these things, especially your assets and your liabilities, and what should happen in the event you're gone.
Yeah. Okay. That's clear. Now, I want us to talk about trusts. And this one can be very intimidating for people, because when you think about trust, the first thing that comes to mind, trust fund baby. And that's why we disqualify ourselves, right? We're just like, trust, Mpumi, you only earn this amount of money. You don't even have, you know, we think about those things and it makes us so intimidated. So what are trusts and when should someone consider creating one? And I'm going to add a little bit of a span in the works. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and was telling me that, yeah, my boss bought a house using a trust. And I'm just like, what are people doing with them? What is all of this? So talk to us about trusts in the simplest yet still educational terms possible.
Okay, so what trust again, that's where we actually get a lot of misconceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally people think trust are for people with money.
Yeah, boo.
But trust essentially, in my opinion, obviously, they are the perfect succession plan because they are protected from creditors. And even when the founder or the person who took out the trust is gone, the trustees have a duty to protect that all the beneficiaries are taken care of in accordance with the trust itself. So there's a number of things that you can achieve in a trust which you cannot achieve or get done through a will. So I think a trust will then be slightly higher than a will because of the advantages and the protections that it offers, firstly to the trustees and the beneficiaries, because it's in line with the values, the principles of the person who would have entered into one. And if you are practicing also, or you work in an industry that has a lot of risk, we generally advise people to even buy their assets, maybe in the form of a property through a trust, because they are more safer. So if the business goes south, then you know that it is protected from the creditors. Yes.
You make a trust sound like an independent person, somebody that's living outside of your body and can make decisions. So what does it look like practically? Do I need to put money in the trust every month? How does it go? What does it look like?
Yes. So you definitely need to do that, but it varies. I think at the core of our conversation this evening, what the listeners need to take from this is that there's no one size fit all here.
Yes, I love that.
Right? Because it also depends on what you are putting under your trust and for what reason. And obviously, there are protections that are then afforded in that regard, like I've already mentioned. All right? But maybe a practical example. We know with the Jewish people, they have a trust. Which every Jew gets to contribute to. It's compulsory. And they do that so that should there be death or a kid needs to be taken to school, then they're able to get money from the trust itself and assist in that regard. So a trust serves various reasons or various purposes. And it depends on the person who enters into a trust, what they're seeking to achieve with that trust. So then I cannot give like a one size fit all, because when we talk about estate planning, at the core is about what the person wishes to happen or what the person essentially wants. So what I want may not be what Mpumi wants. Okay, that's why it's also important for people to seek guidance and go for consultations, either with a lawyer or a bank. And then they will provide them with all the information that is necessary in order for them to get a trust drawn up for them.
Now, if someone already has a living trust, do they still need a will? How do the two work together?
Yes. So you having one is not the absence of the other. You can work with one or two, but preferably if you can have two, you're allowed to have two. Because one focuses solely on you and your affairs whilst you're still alive. And the other deals with your estate when you are gone. Yes. Yeah, so they both serve different purposes, but they are very much similar. So if you have one, you're still safer. But if you can do both, that's actually quite preferred and more advisable.
Where does the power of attorney now fit in? Why is it crucial before a crisis happens?
We understand that a lot of people are not tutored with these legal terminology and processes. So what then a power of attorney does, you are essentially giving somebody the power and the authority to make decisions on your behalf.
What if you get a crook?
Not really. Remember, as legal practitioners or bankers, we uphold our ethics. So everything that we do needs to be within the law. All right. And if you appoint somebody to exercise your power of attorney. Mm. These are people who are well informed. They are able to assist you make sound decisions. And remember, we just advise here in most cases. You still get to decide whether you want to go with what we're saying or not, unless obviously you are incapacitated to take your own decision. Mm. Like, for instance, if you are a minor or you are a person who is mentally distinct.
Yeah.
The certain rights that are then taken away from you and will be exercised by the power of attorney on your behalf.
Mm.
But you have a power of attorney so that they can make well-informed decisions on your behalf.
Yeah.
So it is essentially the legal authority that you give to another individual.
Mm. Are there instances where a will is, and I don't know if this is the right term to use legally, is moot, like where it just gets overridden and it doesn't get considered?
Yes. And I didn't want to talk about this, but since you brought it up, even when you have a will, there are situations or scenarios where it can be moot, like you say, or where it can be contested.
Malibogo.
Yeah, so even when you have a will, I need to be honest.
Yeah, I'm just
even
like,
when you have a
after
will,
all the admin, and then the law still says, hey.
But I tell you what, you'd rather have that than for you to die without a will.
I hear you.
Because in the event that it's sent to court, the other party will present their side of the story. You'll also be afforded an opportunity to present your side. Mm. And then the court, using the reasonable approach, will then make a decision.
Okay.
And in most cases, it's usually sound and reasonable because they understand that play here. Unlike when you die without a will, because anything is going to happen.
Mm. But what would have needed to happen for the will to even get to the point of being argued in court?
Maybe there's been a number of wills before.
Yeah.
Or there was drama before the person died and the other family members are not really satisfied or convinced that this is the final will of the deceased. And there's a lot of forgery as well. People tend to fake wills and they, in certain instances, even include things that were not initially in the original will.
Mm.
So when there's uncertainty, people then tend to approach the courts just to be certain if this is what the will really says.
Mm.
And in other instances also, if the person is excluded from benefiting and they feel like they are the legitimate person to be benefiting from the will, they can also approach the court. So it's due to a number of reasons, but those are the popular ones, especially with regards to forgery.
Yeah. Okay. For someone listening today who's realizing, hey, I need to get serious about this thing, what's the very first step they should take this week?
First step, book an appointment and speak to an attorney. Because what we just did this evening is just action.
We tip not of the iceberg.
Anything.
Mm.
This is just an intro. And once you go to an attorney for a consultation, then they'll be able to take you through the process from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you what you need to do and what you can do when you are getting a will drafted on your behalf.
Mm.
That's one. Two, you can also approach your bank, because generally a lot of people have a will through a banker. Maybe approach the banks in that regard and seek legal advice or counsel regarding that.
Mm.
And also in South Africa, most importantly, because like we said, generally legal things are expensive. In South Africa, we have Wills Week, which may be later in the year, but for people who are not able to afford seeking the help that they need now, it usually happens in September, where participating attorneys and law firms get to draw up wills for people for free.
For free.
But obviously, there are certain requirements that you need to meet. There's a certain amount of money that you, or rather your estate needs to be kept at, and then they'll be able to assist draft a will for you free of charge.
Yeah.
But essentially what people need to do, act. If you need to call a family meeting whilst you're planning for September or you're preparing for the world's work in September, rather, make your wishes known to your family members so that they know, should anything happen, this is what you'd like to happen.
This is so informative. My people, please don't wait until September. We are only in April. Don't wait until you need to do it for free or you can do it for free. Do it now because, yo, Kwanje, what is this saying in Zulu? Elogufalcheli. I think that's what it says, that death doesn't announce itself. It pounces on every one of us, unbeknownst to us, and then we're left with a mess. So don't wait until it's free. If you can do it now, please do it now so that you and your people are protected when you can't protect them or you're no longer there to protect them. Advocate. You know, I've never called you advocate before.
Actually, yes, you never. And yeah, I actually prefer that word.
Nazo, my conversation with you now will change. Advocate, Malebogo Mashishi.
But I'm just a girl. I'm just Malebogo. And I'm okay with either.
But thank you so much for sharing your time, your wisdom, and your clarity with us today. Conversations like this, Shem, they don't just inform. And I'm happy that you told people to act, because this is the point, right? To empower people with all the knowledge and all the tools they need to act. We're so grateful for your generosity and helping us think about our futures with more intention and care. Thank you so much. Have a lovely, lovely evening.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.